Stamford! Stamford, next stop! Stamford!
As far as I was concerned, there were two Stamford stations. One was a railroad station on the New Haven line, and the other was a radio station on Atlantic Street, WSRR, which would one day become WSTC. Ever since we moved from New York to Darien in 1944, where I discovered WSRR on our Zenith radio, I knew I wanted to make broadcasting my career. I spent my teen years listening to the station and was even given a personal tour sometime in the mid-40s. As far as I was concerned, radio was magic, and I was hooked. Someday, I thought, I too would work here. And that's exactly what happened in 1954. The station was founded much earlier, in 1941. Big bands, including Glenn Miller, were at the peak of their popularity, and America's youth were dancing the Lindy Hop to rainbow pulsing jukeboxes for a nickel a spin. The best movie of the year was Citizen Kane.
Rosebud.
And the Second World War was still thousands of miles from our shores. An account executive at the renowned Katz Agency in New York, by the name of Stephen R. Rentoul, decided to open a local radio station in Stamford. He was assigned a frequency of 1,400 kilocycles, was granted a construction permit, built studios overlooking Atlantic Street, and erected a tower on Chapin Point. He used his own initials for the call letters, and on Thursday, September 18, 1941, WSRR went on the air. It became an affiliate of the NBC Blue Network.
Gentlemen, this is the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
And later, of the newly formed American Broadcasting Company.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Crowds before the White House await the announcement from the president that the Japs have surrendered unconditionally.
I deem this reply a full acceptance of the Potsdam Declaration, which specifies the unconditional surrender of Japan.
Reporters rush out to relay the news to an anxious world and touch off celebrations throughout the country.
The date was August 14th, 1945. And I remember listening with my parents to the station that night. They were interviewing people on Atlantic Street as they celebrated the end of the Second World War. Within less than a year, the station was sold, and the new owners changed the call letters from WSRR to WSTC. And I remember many of the announcers of that time, including Ernie Hartman, who later moved to WQXR in New York, Harry Downey, who left for WGY Schenectady, Bob Hall, who later hosted Music Till Dawn on WCBS, Don Rustici, who as Don Russell became program director of Newmont's Channel 5 in New York, and later moved to WNBC, and Frank Delfino, who as Del Campbell became a newscaster at WNEW and later a staff announcer at NBC. In the meantime, I had been pursuing a degree in broadcasting from New York University and working at several area stations at the same time. Which brings us to 1954.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
Bum, bum, bum.
Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman.
By now, innovative vocal groups and romantic ballad singers had overshadowed the big band sounds of the 40s. I Love Lucy was the most watched show on television.
I'll bet you $49.50 that I can keep from buying a hat longer than you can keep from losing your temper.
Okay, you got yourself a bet.
All right, starting right now.
Well, in just a minute, dear.
Take that hat back! What do you think, are you made of money?
We'll start from now on.
And the highest-grossing movie was from Japan. Godzilla.
Papa loves Mambo.
I was hired in March of 1954 by program director Steve Phillips, an excellent announcer in his own right. Most announcers didn't use their real names, but chose air names that could easily be remembered or that disguised their ethnicity. I chose Dick Richards.
Dick Richards, let's see how it's done the Stanford way.
The station's premier program was The Old Commuter, hosted by Scott Vincent, and broadcast Monday through Saturday from 6:30 to 9 a.m. The show had an audience that was the envy of every other station serving the market.
Yes, Ray Anthony and In the Mood. Say, do you remember when automobiles had running boards and rumble seats, no heaters and no radios, and tool kits included vulcanizing pads to patch those old blowouts? Well, those things have gone forever, and good riddance, but a savings account is as good today as it was then. Why don't you open a savings account at the Security Bank and Trust Company and then add to it regularly? Now you'll have funds to enjoy all the good things that life offers today.
Hey, la, dee, ding, dong, a lang, a lang, a lang. Boom, ba, do, ba, do, ba, do, ba, ba.
Oh, life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above.
The Old Commuter carried the bulk of the station's commercial content because of its audience reach. A loose-leaf notebook held by a stand on top of the console, or board, as we called it, contained all commercials and announcements for that day in the proper order. A separate log indicated the times they were to be read.
C.O. Miller is a grand old name and has built its fame on that grand old name, the shopping delight of every Stamfordite.
We go to C.O. Miller's.
Stop in at C.O. Miller's Men's Shop and see on display a Manhattan Span shirt that's been washed by a local laundry 104 times, yet still looks brand new. Manhattan guarantees, besides super wearability, that the Span collar must outlast the rest of the shirt, or you'll receive a new shirt free. Ask for your Manhattan Span, available in three color styles, at C.O. Miller's Men's Shop, street floor. It costs just $3.95. Remember, C.O. Miller's is open Mondays during August.
It deserves its fame.
And we like the price on all their merchandise.
We go to C.O. Miller's.
The time now, 20 minutes past 7. Let's check this weather for you. The weatherman says partly cloudy today, mostly cloudy tonight, with scattered showers and possible thunderstorms. And that doesn't sound too good, does it? However, he says mostly fair and mild tomorrow. The temperature now, 54 degrees in downtown Stamford. The tides today, high water will be at 7:13 this evening. Low tide at 12:56 this afternoon.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise.
Middays were handled by Jerry Damon, whose knowledge of his beloved New York served him well. In 1954, the government announced that it was closing Ellis Island, which had welcomed immigrants to America since 1892. Jerry was later interviewed about this iconic landmark, which was once owned by a man named Sam Ellis.
There was an Ellis, and I understand that he lived in New Jersey and used to take his family over there for picnics and a little bit of whatever hunting that he could do there. It was a much smaller island at the time. It was only 3 acres in size. Much of it was a foot or two underwater, which the government, when they bought it from him, shored up and filled in and expanded to its present size. Before Sam Ellis owned the island, it was known as Gibbet's Island because apparently the Dutch, who were in the harbor and in Manhattan at the time, had many very wealthy ships in the harbor, and pirates used to come up and try to trap the Dutch, and the pirates, of course, didn't know their way around the harbor as the Dutch did, and they'd come up the mouth of the river, and the Dutch would stop at a certain point, let some of the ships go all the way up to Spuitendijk, come down the east side, trap them from behind, catch several of the pirates, run them over to Gibbet's Island, and hang them, hence the gibbet. So it's got some pirate history behind it, too, in addition to immigration history.
Answer me, oh my love, just what sin have I been guilty of? Tell me how.
I worked the evening shift, which meant that I gave station breaks and read commercials between ABC network shows. Later in the evening, I had my own record show with a customized theme song that I created with the help of a young student from Stamford High School.
Hey, don't go away. Here comes the Dick Richards Show.
Round and round and round and round the turntable goes.
He gets the record, looks at the label, then he puts it on the turntable.
If it's got some romance in it, then this jockey'll spin it.
Go on, spin it.
Okay, Dick Richards, take it away.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome to our show. Got a lot of good music here for you. In the way of new releases, some of the current records that you are listening to in the jukeboxes around town and buying over the record counters and retail record stores, and a couple of oldies from the back record shelves of our collection, and by golly, it goes back to, a good 15 or 20 years, I guess. So in that time, I'm sure we can uncover a couple of pleasant memories for you. Hope so, anyway. We're going to open up with a brand new thing by the Four Coins, a group of guys who've been around now for about 6 months recording on the Epic label. They've come up with a number of good commercial things. At least they had the potential for becoming big hits, but something happened and they were just left out in the lurch somewhere along the line. This record may do it for them, though. Brand new, just in. Fellas, what's the good word?
Magnolia!
Magnolia!
Unfortunately, Magnolia wasn't much of a hit. WSTC was given new releases by record promoters whose job it was to publicize them. Some records were better than others. We did our best, however, to showcase them. Scott Vincent even wrote a special introduction to this new release.
You know, today we're so conscious of averages, aren't we? Oh, baseball, basketball, and football averages. The average number of steps the average housewife takes in the average home. And we all know about the average man in the average town who works at the average job. And now come the four lads, and leaving no figures unturned, they tell us about The Average Giraffe, and the kids ought to like this one.
Oogly-oomba, poomba, awky, gawky, all of this is true. Oogly-oomba, poomba, awky, gawky, certainly, of course, you knew. The average giraffe has a tongue 17 inches long.
Oogly-oomba, poomba.
You know, I think Scott's intro was better than the record.
Oogly-awky, gawky.
18 feet from his upper lip to the tip of his cloven hoof, he would stand above your roof, sitting down, but he never sits down.
And now the news.
The secret of the station's success was its local news coverage. Unlike most other small stations, which relied on the Associated Press or United Press International wire services, with their news coverage, WSTC employed a staff of news writers under the watchful eye of General Manager Julian Schwartz. They would regularly access the police blotter, make phone calls to area fire departments, local movers and shakers, and anyone else who could generate a story. In addition, local funeral homes would provide them with obituaries on the newly deceased in exchange for free commercials.
Keep it down, please. It's a little loud.
Now here is a brief summary of late worldwide news developments. The series of delays in distributing the Salk vaccine has led authorities in a half dozen states to postpone plans for second round inoculations of children. The government is not releasing any vaccine.
The major newscasts, all of them 15 minutes in length, would lead with national news, but quickly turn to local and area news, reporting every fender bender from the night before, including the drivers' names and hometowns, a list of those jailed, and every misdeed that could be uncovered. There were always two writers to a shift, and they were good. I remember Hank Catton, Bob Meany, and especially Dee Caruso, who dreamed of one day becoming a television comedy writer. America was still a nation of immigrants, and so weekend mornings consisted of ethnic programming. Fred Obachowski, an insurance salesman during the week, hosted the Polish Hour on Sundays, speaking Polish throughout the show.
You can take my shitka, take my fine kielbasa, take my studzielina, bring me back the kiszka. Who stole the kiszka? Who stole the kiszka?
C'è la luna e mezzo mare, mamma mia, mi mare da te. Figlia mia, cutta dure, mamma mia, te pensa tu.
Nino Belisai conducted the Italian Hour on Saturdays, speaking in both Italian and English, often within the same sentence. He was flamboyant and well known in the Italian community.
Se ti piace le maccheroni, mi piace spaghetti bu.
La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la.
Announcers were expected to have a working knowledge of classical music and to be able to pronounce the names of artists, composers, and their music correctly and with confidence.
During the first portion of our program today, we will hear the Polonaise in A-flat major by Chopin, the Invitation to the Dance by von Weber, the Allegro con Grazia from Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony Pathétique, the Dance of the Comedians from the opera Bartered Bride by Smetana, the Prelude from L'Arlesian Suite No. 1 by Georges Bizet, and in conclusion, Rhapsody España by Alexis Chabrier. The orchestra today is under the direction of Verdon Williams.
Well, you know, this fellow really expresses himself. I can understand why WFTC is one of the most listened to stations in Stamford, Connecticut.
If you want to have fun, come home with me. You can stay all night and play with my TV. TV is the thing this year, TV is the thing this year. Radio was great, now it's out of date. TV is the thing this year. Last night I was watching.
In 1954, we saw the demise of network programming as we knew it. 1954 was the year we said goodbye to the original radio version of Ozzie and Harriet.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, transcribed and starring the entire Nelson family, Ozzie, Harriet, David, and Ricky.
Trying to tell you that he traded your train for a chemistry set.
You mean my train's gone?
No. Well, yes, but I'll get it right back.
I'd sure like it back. But if you think I should have a chemistry set...
No. Actually, Rick, I think this chemistry is probably a little old for you. I'll go right down and get get your train back.
Oh, it's okay, Pop. Chemistry is kind of fun. Georgie and I invented a swell perfume. We gave some to his mother, and she said it smelled just like canal number 6.
Sounds delightful.
It smells delightful, too. Boy, it sure is cold at the Dunkles with all the windows open.
Goodbye to Lum and Abner and their Jot 'em Down store.
And now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge.
It, Lum. I'm just busting to hear what he's saying.
Oh, this is the best idea I've ever had yet.
Hooray, hooray, hooray.
They charge $2 for it, but I, Grannies, I believe it's going to be worth it.
Doggies, them things comes high, don't they?
Yeah, look at that. Ain't that a dandy?
Lord.
Magic salesmanship. 60 secrets of sales success.
Secrets? Aye, doggies, there's something I just love. Any kind of a secret.
Yeah, we'll sure make Pine Ridge set up and take notice now.
Oh, boy.
All we got to do is read this book and we'll increase our sales 72% in 3 days.
72%?
That's what the advertisement said. Imagine selling 72 times as much stuff as we've been selling.
Well, Lum, we ain't got 72 times as much stuff here in the store to sell.
Yeah, maybe we better sit down and order a batch of stuff before we even read the book.
Yeah.
No use to learn all these new ideas if we ain't got the merchandise to sell folks after they come in.
No. Well, if we do 72 times as much business we've been doing, it's going to keep us hopping around here, you know it?
Oh, we'll be going in a dead run from morning till night.
Oh, yeah.
Won't have time for no more checker playing or visiting with folks.
We won't, huh? Well, couldn't we read just about half the book and then just do half as much new business?
Well, we can get some extra clerks in here if we need them. I hate to start a book and stop, not find out how it comes out.
Yeah.
Danny, doesn't it? I believe that's our ring.
I believe it was, too. That was three wrongs, I believe.
Well, that's our ring.
Well, good.
I'll get it.
All right.
Hello, Jot 'em Down Store. This is Lum and Abner.
And goodbye to the pioneering radio adventures of the Lone Ranger, his great horse Silver, and his faithful companion Tonto.
The Indians swarmed down the slope, heading directly for the gates. When the front gates were within gun range, the Lone Ranger spoke.
The Indians have swerved to either side. Before they regain their ranks, I'm going out and bringing the Frenchman. He's not far from the gates.
But you'll be killed.
Have your men cover me, Major. Tell them to let me out.
Open the gates and let the masked man through.
You never make it.
As the Major and Lieutenant watched, the Lone Ranger ran out to where the French captain lay wounded. The men in the fort kept up rapid gunfire as he picked up the wounded man and started back. The Apaches hadn't rallied enough to be within range of him, but it seemed that in another moment he'd fall a victim to their bullets.
Run! Run!
must make it. He must.
He can't get back, Major. We've got to close the gates.
Don't touch those gates.
The two officers and the men watched tensely as the Lone Ranger ran with his heavy burden toward the open gates. Another moment and he'd be inside. Then he stumbled and fell.
He's done for. We'd better close the gates before the Apaches come through.
Major, look! Cavalry moving in from both sides!
As the Lone Ranger fell, he realized death was close. Grabbing one of his guns, he raised on his elbows and emptied it at the chief who had moved within range. At that moment, the masked man, too, realized the troopers had arrived.
The cavalry from El Paso. That means Tonto's safe. Tonto, we'll head south this morning. Our work here is done.
Kimasami.
But we'll be back someday, Major. Adios, everyone.
Adios. Major, who is that masked man?
A great American, Lieutenant. A man who's always willing to risk his life to help his country and to preserve the freedom of its people. He's the Lone Ranger.
I'll kill the boy!
WSTC had four studios. Studio A, equipped with metal folding chairs, could accommodate performers and a small audience. When the chairs were removed, there was room for an orchestra. Studio B also acted as the control room for Studio A, as did Studio C for Studio D, which was used for interviews. One of the station's most popular shows was Speller Teller on Saturday mornings. And this is how we would recruit people to attend.
Say, I'd like to talk to you fourth graders now. Don't forget, if you want to spell for honors and cash prizes, come up to WSTC in Studio A at 10:30 this morning. And if you can't make it today and like to join in the fun, why don't you listen at home? Speller Teller's on the air at 11:05. That's 11:05 this morning.
Most announcers didn't stay at WSTC for very long. They worked there to gain experience or to tide them over while they pursued their big break in New York or elsewhere. The first of our group to leave was Jerry Damon, who was hired by NBC's renowned announcing supervisor, Pat Kelly, to do summer relief.
You have just heard X minus one. Your announcer is Jerry Damon.
And who remained at NBC for the rest of his career.
That's how it goes here. This portion of NBC's All-Star Parade of Bands has been coming to you from the fabulous, beautifully appointed Shepherd's Restaurant at the Drake Hotel in New York's elegant Park Avenue. This is now Jerry Damon reminding you of the preview coming up next of the Times Square celebration, followed by more of NBC Radio's All-Star Parade of Bands on the NBC Radio Network.
Next to go was Scott Vincent, who headed for WABC Radio and TV in New York.
This is Channel 7, WABC TV, New York.
Where he enjoyed a rewarding career in news and public affairs, as well as show announcer for such programs as Merv Griffin.
This is Scott Vincent saying that the Merv Griffin Show is produced and directed by Lynn Duddy.
And the Bell Telephone Hour.
This is Scott Vincent reminding you that someone, somewhere, would enjoy hearing your voice by telephone tonight. A long-distance call is the next best thing to being there.
Bye-bye, bye-bye blues.
It wasn't long before news writer Dee Caruso moved to New York and eventually to Hollywood and began writing for both television and the movies. which included the Disney studios.
Fans are cheering for Walt Disney Productions' hilarious comedy movie, The World's Greatest Athlete. Take the family and go all out for laughs in The World's Greatest Athlete.
I said he could do it, and he did it, didn't he, brother?
Eventually becoming head writer for the TV series Get Smart.
Max, this chain is part of a massive smuggling operation to get the formula of the TK-800 out of the country.
The TK-800?
Right.
The TK-800? Chief, if they ever get the TK-800 out of the country, we're in a lot of trouble.
Uh-huh.
There's only one thing that bothers me, Chief.
What?
What is the TK-800?
I know I'd go from rags to riches.
I chose a different path. I reclaimed my own name of Dick Bertel when I joined WTIC Radio and Channel 3 Television in Hartford.
WTIC 1080 Hartford,
where I enjoyed a career in both media, eventually becoming anchor of the 6 o'clock Channel 3 News.
This is Channel 3, WTIC-TV in Hartford, Connecticut.
Good evening, this is Dick Bertel with the local edition of the 6 o'clock report. At the state capitol this morning, Governor Meskel signed the first major bill of the current session and knocked the wind out of a rumor.
And then, Washington called.
NBC Radio News, I'm Dick Bertel. President Bush is vetoing the stopgap spending measure passed by the Congress last night.
I am sorry that I have to do this, but I made very clear that I am not.
I spent the remainder of my broadcast career with NBC and the Voice of America, handling assignments that took me across the country and around the world.
Live from Washington, this is Talk to America with Dick Bertel.
More than a billion men, women, and children live and die in the most abject poverty. It can be argued that we will not find long-term solutions to environmental degradation, climate change, and despair that feeds political violence unless we begin to work toward eliminating poverty.
It's the Henry Jerome Show, dinner at the Green Room from the beautiful Green Room of the Hotel Edison in the heart of Times Square, New York City. Featuring Henry Jerome and his famous orchestra, dinner guest celebrities, and the song most likely to succeed. And now here he is, our man most likely to succeed, the maestro of the Green Room, known from coast to coast for his smooth music, Henry Jerome.
Hello, nice people. Thanks, Bob Lennon. As always, it's our pleasure being with you via ABC, having you with us for a bit of dinner at the Green Room. And I noticed just as we went on the air, a young fella just came in who's affiliated with ABC. I hope one of the stations that carry the good old dinner at the Green Room show, Mr. Dick Richards of WSTC in Stamford, Connecticut. I guess we've talked just about enough. We should play a little music.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
And so, on behalf of my colleagues, I thank you, WSTC, for that memorable year of 1954 that gave each of us the opportunity to live our dreams. It was a privilege to contribute a vital service for the people who called Stamford home.
And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
You don't get years like that anymore. It was my favorite year.